Heaven, thank you for leading us in worship this morning. Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. My name's Alan Scott. I'm the pastor here at Oak Hill, and we're going to worship the Lord today. We've already been doing that, and we're going to get to God's Word today as we do every Sunday in the life of our church. Today, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 1. We'll get to that here in a few moments. There'll be a little bit of an extended introduction to get to the message this morning. But I want to share with you some really exciting news, maybe to some of you, and a great reminder to others. Some of us in the church, we've been here a number of years. I've been here 18 years almost as pastor. May will be 18 years. So I've been here for a minute. A lot of you have been here for a minute as well. But there are some of you been here just a few weeks or a few months or maybe a few years. Today, God's laid upon my heart that over the next 3 weeks, I want to take 3 weeks to talk about our recent past, our present, and our future. It's very important for churches to do this at times, to kind of make sure everybody's on the same page and understand exactly what God is doing in the life of a local church. And so that's what we're going to do today. Now, this 3 week series kind of came to me after I'd recently been fielding this same question by a few different people. The question goes like this: why does Oak Hill have a north and a south campus? And if you're newer to the church, you may not know the answer to that. If you've been around here a while, hopefully you know that answer. But we need to make sure everybody's on the same page. And ultimately, the reason we have a north and a south campus is because God has blessed our church. It's through his power and what he's been doing in our church of why we find ourselves in the position. But I want to explain that to you. I want us to get our head around what God has been doing. So this is really a testimony to what God has done, okay? This is not about what our church has done or what a pastor has done. But we're talking about this because of God working on the hearts of people in powerful ways. This is why we're talking about this. And so to talk about it, we need to consider a problem. We need to consider a plan, and we need to consider a pause. So those are going to be the three things we're going to talk about to get to the text this morning. You see, we as a church, we had a problem, and God brought about this problem to us, but it's a good problem. It's a problem that churches pray for. Now, that problem was that God had blessed us to the point to where we were running out of space. Running out of parking, running out of ministry space. And so those are good problems to have. And so ultimately he led us to a plan to address the problem, and we'll unpack that here in a moment. But the theme that we've been in as a church over the last some 4 years or so, the theme is one of waiting. We've had to wait to see God's plan come to fruition. But we've not just been passively waiting, we've been actively waiting, and there's a big difference between the two. We have been actively waiting by doing the things God's told us to do, but we're still waiting to see his plan become unfolded before us. So let's talk first about the problem we've had. It's the problem of growth. You see, since we've been in this building since 2008 until about 2019 or so, whenever we came to the church and talked about the purchase of North Campus, our church had experienced growth of increase of attendance and finances and baptisms and people coming to faith and growing in the Lord. All these things were growing and growing and growing, and we were trying to keep up with what God was doing. And in this 9:30 hour, which we're in right now, we found ourselves having trouble with parking. People coming at the 9:30 hour, and if you come at 9:30, not on every Sunday, but most Sundays, you will come and you may take you a little bit to find a parking space. I've had some people shaking their head to me, yes, that's true. And we find ourselves at the place to where our parking is once again tight and we're running out of ministry space. Well, this was the problem that we had because God has been blessing us and he has brought about this blessing to us. And so at the 9:30 hour on some Sundays, we'll run out of parking and we'll run out of ministry space. Well, we've experienced that for some time now. And so back in 2018, we started to consider a plan of how to address the problem that God has brought our way, a good problem. Well, the plan was that we were looking for land maybe to expand on. We needed to do something. We're landlocked here. We can't buy any more property around us. It's residential area. It's people, we're having parking problems. People say, well, why don't you build a parking garage? Well, you can't build a parking garage in the middle of a residential area like this, so that's a problem. So we needed to find some property. So we started praying back in 2018 about, God, hey, would you bring something our way? Well, God, would you answer our prayer? And a little bit north of us on Oak Hill, there was a piece of property we thought was gonna come on the market for sale, and we'd heard about it. So we went to the church and talked about it and prayed about it, and we church authorized us to make an offer on that piece of property. Well, that piece of property fell through, ended up not going on the market, so we were still praying. 2019 came around, another piece of property came on the market for sale, and that's what we know now as North Campus. It's set just north of us. It's about a minute and 20 seconds away. If you get the light, it's even closer, about 50 seconds maybe, depending on if you're following the speed limit or not. But it's just right here, right by us. And so this church was there, Olivet Community Church. They had dwindled over the course of time in number. They were a faithful church, but it dwindled over the course of time. And they were praying that they could merge in with another church here in the area and use that facility and sell their properties. Well, I found out about that. I went and talked to that pastor. He prayed, I prayed. It looked like it could possibly happen. I came back to the church and we talked about that piece of property and we got permission to put an offer on that piece of property. And we ultimately purchased that piece of property known as North Campus now. It was God's provision to us. And so that was part of the plan. And we ended up purchasing that property or putting an offer in on that property. And we purchased that property, 12 and a half acres up there with the buildings that's on it. It was great. It's been a blessing. The immediate blessing of that has been that we have green space. We can do community events outside. We can do church events outside, like our church picnic, which is coming up. We do our Easter egg hunt and all kinds of things up there. It's been a real blessing. It's part of God's provision for us. God's been so good to us. So by December of 2019, we were under contract for that property. And we had this plan. And we were excited. And so I came back to the church, and on January 5th, 2020, I presented to the church the plan that God had led us to how to work North and South Campus together and to use it for God's glory. And remember, I said that was January 5th, 2020, and we'll get to the problem that comes around March, if anybody remembers what happened in March of 2020. Some of you are smiling. I think you know where I'm talking. But we found ourselves on that Sunday, me sharing the vision that God had laid on our hearts, the plan that God had given to us of how to use that property and this property. And the church voted overwhelmingly to adopt that plan and to go forward with it. And so I want to talk just for a minute about that plan. It's a two-phase plan, how we're going to use North and South Campus. There's a lot that needed to happen. But this plan would help us to continue to reach out to the lost and to have plenty of ministry space and ample parking and all those kinds of things. We were excited about this plan, but there were two necessary adjustments that would have to take place to make this plan a reality. So the two necessary adjustments were going to be this. Our 8 a.m. service ultimately is going to lead the way to the North Campus, but they're going to, when that building is ready, we're going to move our first service up to North Campus, and they're going to worship up there at 8 o'clock. And then also the 9:30 hour adult classes that don't need childcare support for their classes, they're going to move up to North Campus as well. And by those people gravitating up there to have first service up there at 8 o'clock, and those life groups that are on campus go up there as well at the 9:30 hour, guess what that's going to do for our parking here? It's going to free up a lot of parking here so our second and third services can continue to grow and they'll have ample space up there as well. So that was the two adjustments that needed to take place. Well, we talked all about that plan. The church overwhelmingly approved that plan and we were excited about that. So that is to come. That's part of the plan, is those two adjustments. Now, phase one of the plan is going to be that we're going to have a property up there that we're so thankful for those buildings up there, but they've had a lot of deferred maintenance for a number of years. And so we knew there were things we were going to have to do up there. And so we've been visiting ourselves with that. Next week, I want to celebrate what we're doing in the present. And that's where you're going to hear everything that's been accomplished and completed by what God's done. Okay, so you'll get an update about all of that next week. But we had to go up there and do some really exciting renovations like HVAC systems, and roofs, however you say it. Those aren't very exciting to talk about, but they're very necessary, right? I mean, to really use the property the way we need to use it, you gotta make sure that rain's not getting in, right? And you need to make sure that you can heat and cool the place. So we've been doing all those types of things. There's gonna be a new foyer space added, a new elevator put in, new classrooms renovated down there, worship space that's made fitting for worship. All those things are coming. That's all part of phase one. Phase two was going to be ultimately as we do all those things and make those adjustments as God blesses our church. And whenever God does bless our church and we grow, then we're ultimately going to build a dedicated worship center up there with a new children's ministry area attached to it. And that's phase two. And then people say, well, when's that going to happen? Well, we got to do phase one first, okay? And then we're going to wait on God to see the timing of it be exactly when God tells us to do it. Because as I've always told our church for 18 years, as God moves, we move. We don't want to get ahead of God. And so we're going to follow God and faithfully follow. But that's really the plan that God gave us. You see, we had good problems that God brought our way. We had a plan that God brought to us that we shared with our church family that was overwhelmingly approved. And in the spring of 2020, we were ready to go. But that's when the pause came. You see, the last normal worship service that we had before COVID was March 15th of 2020. And after that service on, we had to scramble around and do different things. And if you remember back in that time, we were told to stay away from one another, right? Don't get around people. And we couldn't meet for worship and all those types of things. Remember that wonderful time of our life? So we did all those things. We adjusted. We did everything we could. And we weren't around each other and we were gone away. And about the time that was all happening, we were just getting ready to start our capital campaign program to raise the funds that we need to do our plan. And that's when we came to the realization that it was not time yet to go forward. We needed to pause. We needed to wait because the time wasn't right. Now, God was faithful to us through 2020 to where at the end of the year, we really ended up okay financially because you, God's people, were faithful to continue to give in those hard times. That's amazing. And in that fall of 2020, we thought, well, hey, let's unpause and let's go again. We were preparing ourselves to now go into our capital campaign. But guess what happened around October, November? There was a second wave of the COVID stuff coming through. And guess what? Attendance plummeted. Giving plummeted, everything plummeted, and well, guess what we had to do again? We had to pause once again. Now, none of that was fun. I don't like waiting. Do you like waiting? I don't like waiting, especially when you feel God has spoken clearly and given you the plan to go forward. It's not fun to wait, but sometimes you have to. And so we waited. And we'd entered into 2021 and God was faithful to us through 2021. We kept building back. God was bringing people to us. People were getting saved. People were growing in their faith. All these good things were happening. So finally, in the fall of 2021, we were able to go into our campaign, our One Family, One Mission campaign, to where we could start raising funds to see God have his plan come to fruition. And we did that. And around November of 2021, we actually met our first financial goal. It was a goal of trying to raise $750,000 at that time. And we did. We were able to meet that goal of a projected estimated cost of the whole project being about $2.9 million. But we met the first goal. And people have been faithfully giving to that. And next week, I want to share with you where we're at. And actually, the good news of really, we've even outpaced those pledges that were given. And we're going to give an update next week about that and what God has been doing. We're going to celebrate all that he's done. But here we're going to get to Acts 1 now. I want you to understand that we had a problem that God brought our way, and it was a blessing from God. We just ran out of space. And in the midst of that problem, that good problem to have, God led us to a plan. And the good thing about that was the plan that we presented to our church was overwhelmingly approved. And we united our hearts together. We're getting ready to go forward. And we had to pause and then pause again. And finally, we were able to go. And that's where I want us to see in this pause, there's something we can learn. There are things that we can do in those seasons of waiting. We've had that as a church. And I'm sure you've had it in your life. But can I ask you, what are you doing while you're waiting? There are times in your life where you're ready to hit the gas. You're ready to go. You want the answer to the prayer to come so you can see things change and be different. But nothing's happening. And you're in a season of waiting. What do you do in your waiting? Well, I'm glad you asked, because we're going to consider from God's word what the apostles did in the season of waiting. And we see that they did three things. And these three things that they did in their season of waiting are things we have done in our season of waiting as a church. And these are three things that we all need to do in our personal lives when we find ourselves waiting. Look at God's word, Acts chapter 1. We find the apostles and others gathered while waiting on God and the promise of the Holy Spirit that he said he was going to, that was going to come. And if you look in Acts chapter 1, look at verses 4 and 5. Listen to what it says. And while staying with them, as Jesus was with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. To wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to heaven, and he tells the apostles, I need you to go to Jerusalem, and I need you to wait. You need to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, think with me just for a moment. This group of people was the apostles, and we're going to read here in a moment who else it was. It was Jesus' mother, his brothers, his family. It was other followers of Christ. They were all gathered here together. That group of people had been through a lot. They had seen the earthly ministry of Jesus, ultimately that led him to be put on a cross. They had seen all of that suffering and all that he went through there. He ultimately died. He resurrected on the third day, and he had shown himself to many of them, and they had seen him with their own eyes, and he had now gone back to heaven. There was a lot they had to process. They had seen a lot. They'd been through a lot. And so Jesus, before he leaves, says, hey, you need to go and you need to wait. You got to go wait for something awesome, something great that was going to come. The Holy Spirit was promised to come, but you have to first wait. And so we find them here in the text doing a few things. First, we see that they ran to prayer. They started praying. Look, if you would, verse 12 of chapter 1. Let's read 12 through 14. Look what it says. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. And Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So here it is, they gather. Here's the first thing that's really good for us to do when we're in a season of waiting. We need to make sure while we're waiting, we're being obedient to follow Jesus and what he tells us to do. What did Jesus tell them to do? You need to go back to Jerusalem, and you need to what? You need to wait. Well, we find them at Jerusalem, so we know they listened. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm tempted sometimes not to want to listen. Anybody here like that? Maybe you were the kid that never wanted to listen, right? I can make eye contact with a few of you out here, and know you're probably that kid, right? You can probably look at me and say, yeah, Pastor, you were probably that kid. Yeah, I was a lot of times. We don't always want to listen. We don't always want to be obedient. But here, this group of people, in their season of waiting, they were obedient to do what Jesus told them to do. In our season of waiting as a church, can I just say, our church has been faithful to wait, but still go forward in obedience, looking to the future, say, God, we're going to do what you told us to do. Can I just tell you that when we were in the middle of COVID, and I remember the day I got up and I had to go sign papers to purchase that property down there in the middle of COVID. Can I just tell you, that didn't feel really good. Because we were telling our church we can't visit, we can't get together, we can't meet, we didn't know what was going to happen. And we're down there signing papers to purchase this property in the middle of all of that. You know why the church decided to continue to go ahead and do that? Because we understood the importance of obedience. We knew, we trusted God. We followed him in that step. So we see here, they were obedient. They went to Jerusalem. And when they go there, what are they doing? They're praying. They're praying. And there was something that marked their praying. Unity marked their praying. It said they were all together with one accord. Now listen, that was quite a group of people, right? It's like Jesus' family, it's the apostles, it's a lot of other believers, about 120 people that were all together praying together. They were marked by one accord. They were unified. And can I just say, it's hard to keep a group of people unified. I mean, that group, there's a lot of different personalities in that group. Yeah, in the life of a church, can I just say, you see our 9:30 service, there's an 8 o'clock service, there's a 9:30 service, and there's an 11 o'clock service. And can I just say humbly, there's a lot of personalities in there. Amazing people, but we all have our quirks. We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have our opinions. But can I tell you, over the last 4 years or so, since we've been in the middle of this, just as we see here, this group of people was of one accord. And we as a church have been of one accord. There's been a unity in our church. Yes, we've had our ups and our downs and our bumps and along the way, but overall, there's been a sweet unity in the church as we're trying to be obedient to what God's doing. I thank God for that. I really thank God for that. So they were marked by unity. They're praying together, and there was a persistence in their prayer. It said they devoted themselves to prayer. They didn't give up praying. They kept praying while they were waiting. Now, can I just say that when I'm waiting, when there's seasons of waiting in my life and I'm praying about something, if it doesn't happen about day 3, 4, or 5, sometimes we can be tempted to say, well, I guess it's not working. I guess God doesn't hear. I guess I'll just, no, there's no point in praying anymore. Nothing's changing, nothing's working. Does that sound familiar to anybody in the room? But what we've got to be marked by, especially in those seasons of waiting, is we, yes, marked by obedience to follow God in those seasons of waiting. Yes, be marked by unity with those in your family or here in our church family. But we must be marked by persistently praying to the Lord too. We can't give up just because those season of waiting is going longer than we think it should go. They persisted in their praying. It's very important for us to hear that. And of all the things that I would consider for our church in the last 4 years or so, you know what? We've done praying. We have prayed. But you know what? If there's one thing I wish that we would have done a better job at is a more concerted effort in our prayer life as a church. And I feel somewhat responsible for that. I'm your pastor. I wish I would have led us more aggressively in the area of prayer in our waiting. But you know what? I'm a little slow, but I come around, I learn, right? And I've learned, and I'm learning that lesson, and I want us to go forward to run to prayer even more than we have, because there is power in prayer. But in the waiting, we must pray. That's the first thing they did in their waiting. The second thing we notice in their life is dedication. And they weren't just dedicated to one another. They weren't just dedicated to a leader. They were dedicated to something. They were dedicated to the scriptures. They understood and knew how important scripture was in their life. You see it right here in the text. Look at verse 15. We'll pick up there and we'll just read and make this point. In those days, in the season of waiting, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was all of about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David." So he's referring, he's saying, hey, guys, the situation we're in, we can understand when we reference scripture. So he's going to reference back to the book of Psalm, to something that King David had written down in scripture that would help them understand what they were going through right now. So let's read what it says here. It says, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas." You see, one of the 12 named Judas, we know something about him, right? He betrayed Jesus Christ. And this one who betrayed Jesus had to be replaced. They need to find another apostle. And they understood their season of waiting by referencing back to scripture to help them understand what was going on. Now look what it says. Which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Just meant he was one of the 12 apostles. Now this man acquired a field, talking about Judas, with the reward of his wickedness, of his betrayal of Jesus, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. Now you're saying, whoa, that's a little strong, Pastor. Well, we know from other parts of Scripture that Judas hung himself. You say, well, what's going on here? Well, most commentators believe as he hung himself, the rope broke and he fell, and what you just read happened. So here it is. It's this description of what happened to Judas. And then it said in verse 19, and it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So you see, here's what's going on. Peter stands up, he says, hey, we know why we're here. We can understand what's going on here in our season of waiting. We need to replace Judas as one of the apostles. And he gives some commentary on what exactly happened to Judas. And some people believe, you know, he was pretty descriptive. He's wanting them to understand, especially the Gentiles among them, to understand what happened. And so here it is, this is what's happened, and he needs to be replaced. So how did they understand their season of waiting? And what they needed to do in that season of waiting, they understood it through Scripture. He references back to Psalm 69, 25. He references back to Psalm 109, 8. They reference it here in the text. How did they know what to do in their season of waiting? They dedicated themselves to Scripture. How do you know what to do when you're waiting? How do you know how to understand what's going on in your life? Well, you need to be praying. But you also need to be dedicating yourself to Scripture, spending time in the Word of God. As you spend time in the Word of God, you can get insight as the Holy Spirit works on your heart as you read Scripture to understand what's going on in your season of waiting. That's very important for us to see here. That's what's going on. They understood their life not through their own opinion, not through the opinion of others. They understood their life because they dedicated themselves to Scripture. But can I just say, sometimes when I'm having to wait longer than I think I should have to wait, sometimes I get frustrated, and sometimes I don't feel like praying, and sometimes I don't feel like reading Scripture, spending time in God's Word. Does anybody relate to that in here? But you see, it's very important in our seasons of waiting to run to God and not away from Him. That in our seasons of waiting, that we spend time praying to our God, that we spend time in His Scripture, because it helps us to know what actions we need to take while we're waiting. But there's one other thing that we find that them doing here in the text. We find them trusting. And they weren't trusting just other people. They weren't just trusting their leaders. They were ultimately trusting in a sovereign God. They understood that God was in control of all things, and they chose to trust God, even though they didn't know exactly what was going on, even though they were having to wait, they still chose to trust God. We know that from what we find in the text. Look in verse 21 and following. Look what it says. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And so what that was, they're saying, hey, we need to find a replacement for Judas. Here are the qualifications of the one that we would find to replace Judas. They need to have walked with us in the past. They needed to see the earthly ministry of Jesus, and they needed to have been somebody who saw Jesus on the backside of his resurrection. This is the qualifications of who's going to take Judas's place. So then out of that, we find this. Verse 23, and they put forward two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen. So what are they doing? They're trusting God to show them which of these two men should fill the role of Judas. Verse 25, to take the place in this ministry and the apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. Listen to verse 26. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So what's going on here? The way that they knew to know God's will in this moment of time was to cast lots. Now, this is something that we find that throughout the Old Testament, it was a very recognized and standard practice on trying to find God's will. So they would cast lots. In this situation, it would have been them probably having little stones and writing the names of these men on these little stones and shaking them up and rolling it over. And whichever stone rolled out first, whosever's name was on that stone, that would have been the one that God chose. That's how they came to understand and know God's will in this season and in this time. You see it in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Joshua, 1 Samuel. Proverbs 16:33 states this, the lot is cast into the lap, but its very every decision is from the Lord. And so they believed that as they did this and they shook it up and one came out, they believed that God was in control of all things. And so whichever name rolled out first, that was the man that was supposed to fill the position. Now, it's very interesting to me that this is the last time in all of Scripture that we ever see the casting of lots. You know why? Who were they waiting on? Who were they waiting for to come? The Holy Spirit to come. And you see, that's why we don't have to cast lots anymore and trust in that way. Now, we who are followers of Jesus Christ, when we come to Christ, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit residing inside of us. We have the revealed word of God. And so we now know the will of God and trust the will of God as the Holy Spirit leads us through the truth of Scripture, that we no longer have to cast lots. What we need to do is trust the leading of the Spirit through the truth of God's word. And that's how we can know the will of God in our lives, through the power of the Holy Spirit working through the revealed word of God. So what did they do? They trusted. They trusted that God was in control in their season of waiting. And can I just tell you that this is exactly what our church has had to do for ever since 2019 up till now. We have just had to trust the sovereignty of God in our waiting. Listen, that's really frustrating for a pastor too. Can I just tell you that? Because I get people all the time throughout those years, Pastor, what's next? What are we gonna do here? And the answer was, hey, we're waiting. We're waiting on God, and we're gonna follow God as he leads us. And that's the best thing sometimes you can do in your season of waiting, is to just trust the Lord and to trust that he's in control. So I don't know what you're waiting on today. In your own life, maybe you're waiting to hear a diagnosis. Maybe you're waiting to hear from a long lost family member. Maybe you're waiting, I don't know what your waiting is, but while you're waiting, what are you doing? You see, sometimes people wait and they passively wait. They don't do anything other than become bitter, other than to become depressed. Those are not the things you want to do. That's what passivity and waiting will do as you look at it in your own strength. But you see, in your waiting, you can actively wait. You can do things in your waiting that God will use to do a deep work in your life and to encourage you and challenge you to be all that God wants you to be in your season of waiting. And what we see from Scripture is they did three things. I think we can do these three things as well. And I think we should do these three things in our lives, especially in our seasons of waiting. We can devote ourselves to prayer. You'll be put in situations in your life all the time that you don't understand, you don't have the answers, and you're waiting. You need to pray. You need to pray like never before. God will hear your prayer. But you also need to dedicate yourself to Scriptures. A lot of times people are waiting and they're looking for information to know what to do and they're waiting and they just run down to the bookstore, they get online and they read some book, or read some articles of who knows whatever, giving their opinion about something. Listen, don't build your life. Don't fill your time in your season of waiting by just writings that are out there that aren't inspired from other people. I'm not saying you can't find any value in some of those writings, but ultimately what you need in your season of waiting is you need what Scripture says to you in your season of waiting. And I would encourage you to dedicate yourself to God's word and know that it has truth that you need in your life. So in your season of waiting, you need to pray. You need to be reading and dedicating yourself to scripture. And ultimately, you just need to trust that God's in control. You've got to rest in him and fight against letting bitterness or anger build up in your life while you're waiting. God is working and he is there. He has blessed our church so much in these last some years. He is so good to us. And that's why next week, please come back next week, because this isn't the whole story. This is just our recent past. I want to talk about our present. I want to update you all that God has done and how good he's been to us and encourage us to celebrate the goodness of God in our personal lives and also in the corporate life of our church. But in your life, will you actively wait? Will you apply yourself to prayer and the study of the word and trust of God? I pray that you will. Our church has had to do that. And I pray we always will. And I pray in your life, you'll do the same three things as you wait as well.